AM 1570 FM 104.5 WYTI Rocky Mount, Virginia. Earl Van Shelton along with you on a Thursday afternoon. It is 2:30, 55 degrees in Rocky Mount. And we are happy to have author of the National Geo Kids Dog Days of History book, Sarah Albee, on the telephone with us. Sarah, how are you this afternoon?
I am doing great, thank you.
That is wonderful. Sarah, I think the best way to start this off is tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a children's book writer. I write nonfiction history primarily, and I primarily write for kids ages about 7 or 8 on up. Although I did get my start at Sesame Street, so I have a lot of preschool books as well. But these days, it's mostly older kid history.
How many books, Sarah, do you have to your credit?
Well, if you count all the itty-bitty ones, like the Sesame Street books, mm-hmm. I would say over 100.
Wow, that's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your latest book called The Dog Days of History. I love the title of it.
Well, thank you. It was a joy to write because it's a combination of two of the things I love most, which is history and dogs. So it's a mashup of two of my favorite things. And it's basically, it traces the human-dog relationship from ancient times through to present day. And it traces the chronology of history, so it's very chronologically laid out. But it's just sort of stories about dogs through the ages. And it's by National Geographic, therefore, the images and pictures are just stunning.
Well, being educated and having a lot of knowledge about dogs, let me ask you, who domesticated the very first dogs?
You know, that's a really good question, and the answer is it depends on who you ask. If you talk to an archaeologist will say it was about 15,000 years ago. The scientists who study DNA and genetics will say it happened much longer ago, like 30,000 years. So scientists really aren't sure, and they're also not really sure where it happened. And I think the consensus now is that domestication happened in a few different places on the globe, in a few different, you know, times periods. So mm-hmm. It's kind of a murky answer.
Well, let me ask you this. Why did George Washington send a small dog to a British general?
Ah, I love this story. George Washington, there's something lovely about at least to me, that he was such a dog lover, and he owned a ton of dogs, and he had really hilarious names for them. But this story happened in October of 1777, and it was just after Washington's army had lost the Battle of Germantown to the British general, William Howe. And after, in the chaos of the battle, General Howe's little dog had sort of gotten lost and disoriented, and ended up, some of Washington's soldiers picked him up and brought him to General Washington and said, "What should we do with it?" And Washington wrote a note to General Howe, and he sent the dog by way of one of his soldiers, Washington soldiers, like 25 miles on horseback with a white flag in one hand and the dog in the other, and right into the enemy camp, where he delivered this lost dog to its owner, the General Howe. And General Howe was so touched, and he said it was a very gentlemanly thing for Washington to have done.
Oh,
so I like that story.
I do too. I love it. Look, knowing about dogs, let's go to Dalmatians. You know, they're always, when you see firefighters, you kind of connect that with Dalmatians. When did Dalmatians become friends with firefighters?
That is a true story. Well, it started, Dalmatians came from the province of Dalmatia in the former Yugoslavia hundreds of years ago, like around the time of Queen Elizabeth I. But it was in the 1700s that having a carriage dog or two run alongside your carriage was kind of a status symbol, and a lot of wealthy people had various types of carriage dogs that many of them looked like Dalmatians or were Dalmatians, and they were considered a real status symbol. But it was the Dalmatians that people discovered that they had a real affinity for horses, and the dogs kind of calmed the horses down, and especially for a fire truck, you know, pulled by horses, you know, the bells dinging and all the chaos, the Dalmatians were a really calming influence on the horses. So that's how they kind of started running alongside fire trucks, and the dogs would also guard the equipment while the firefighters were battling a fire. fire. So there is a lot of truth to the fact that they do go way back, Dalmatians and firefighters.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I understand, too, Sarah, that there is a dog that starred in 26 movies, and they actually had their own chef and chauffeur. Are you kidding me?
That would be, you know, there's a whole section in my book of dogs in showbiz. You know, I talk about Toto and the Wizard of Oz, who, fun fact, also starred in movies with Shirley Temple. But the one you're referring to is Rin Tin Tin, who was discovered as a puppy at just the very end of World War I. He was in a bombed out pet shelter in France, and an American soldier found him and brought him home to Los Angeles, his hometown. And that's where, and he trained this dog, and I think he really wanted him to be in movies. And then one day, Rin Tin Tin got his lucky break, and when some other dog was filming and kind of bailed on whatever he was supposed to be doing, and Rin Tin Tin stepped in and saved the day, and the rest is history. He became a star.
You know, I was going to guess at this, and my guess, Sarah, would have been Lassie. Do you have any history about Lassie?
That would have been a good guess. Yeah, no, that would have been an excellent guess. And Lassie was a star of a very well-known television series, and there was more than one Lassie, but the original Lassie was a female shepherd. And yeah, so Lassie definitely had quite a following on the silver screen as well, but I think it was more the silver TV screen. Although
there you go.
They did do a couple of movies. So,
Sarah, how can someone get your book or find out more information about you? Of course, you are a New York Times best-selling author, and like you said, you've got over 100 books to your credit. How can they find out more information about you and about the new book?
Well, I do have a website, SarahAlbybooks.com, but you can also find the book really wherever books are sold. It's National Geographic. It's going to be online on the big retailers. Hopefully, if you have an independent bookseller in your area, it's always nice to give them your support and business. But yeah, it's very widely available thanks to National Geographic, who has wonderful distribution.
Absolutely. Sarah Alby, thank you so much for taking your time out this afternoon to talk with us here at the radio station. A great book. We have a copy of it. We're going to read it, and then, of course, we'll give it away.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.